Shalom, Abraham, the Messiah's Baba Basra Davdala. Today's Dav has a geschmack. I got a tosugi about Hurdus and Baba Ben Abuto. We discuss Hurdus' rebuilding of the base of Mikdash and how one is allowed or shouldn't advise a Russia how to do tshuva. We discuss back in our Baba Basra sugi is a wall for a stam minug. What's considered an effective marker when dividing? We discuss what happens if a mak, if someone who has fields around another field, builds walls, three walls, who builds the fourth wall, to be mechayev, the inner guy to build. We discuss Hurdus. We then Hurdus, he was an eved of the Beis Chashmadoi, so he's half Jewish. And there was a certain girl who he put his eyes on, he wanted to marry her. One day he heard a baskal that any eved who tries taking over, he's going to be matzliach. He said, all right, here's my chance. He got up and he slaughtered all of his masters, all the chashmanoid, but he left over this girl. When this girl Chab that heard this wanted to marry her, she ran up to the roof and she called out, anyone who says that they're from Beis Chashmanoi, they're actually an Eved, because I am the last of the Beis Chashmanoi and I'm falling off a roof. And she jumped and died. The Hurdus took her and preserved her for 7 years in honey. Some say that he slept with her, some say he didn't. Either he was preserving her for the tzura of her body, or to lay claim that he had married a bas melech, so he wanted to keep her body there. Now that Hurdus was in power, he said, who darshan the pasuk of Mekerech Achichotos Melech Melech, that only a full yid can be a king? So it's the Rabbanon. All right. And he went out and killed all the Rabbanon. But he left over one Baba Ben Buta to get wise counsel from. But he still tortured him, and he gave him this crown around his eyes of porcupine needles, which blinded him. And one day, he decided to mess with Baba Ben Buta, and he made believe that he wasn't Hurdus. And he stood in front of him and he said, look at this embarrassment of a king. And he was trying to egg him on to say something bad about Hurdus. No, so Baba Ben Buta said, what am I supposed to do? He said, curse him. He said, nah, we don't curse people. He says, yeah, but he's not a king. He says, yeah, but he's rich. The Pasuk says, V'chadri mishkov cho'al tekal al oshir. And even a nasi, you don't curse. V'nasi b'mecholoi tor. Hurdus says, yeah, but that's only if he's doing ma'isa amcha. And this Hurdus guy, he isn't. So Baba Ben Buta says, I'm scared. Who knows who's going to hear? The walls have ears. He says, it's just you and me. Yeah, but the Hurdus is going to find out. Hurdus says, you know, I am Hurdus. I don't believe it. I didn't think the Rabbanon were so careful with their words. If I would have known that, I wouldn't have killed them all. What am I supposed to do? What's this guy supposed to do after regretting killing all the Chachamim? So Baba Ben Buta says, look, you destroyed the light of the world, Kinir Mitzvah V'Torah Or, so go and get involved in the light of the world, the Beis HaMikdash. Like the Pasuk says, V'Nacharu Elav Kol HaGoyim. All the Goyim are going to stream to the light of the Beis HaMikdash. Others say that his advice was that you blinded the world, because it says, So therefore, Yedech V'Yitzasku, go and get involved with giving sight to the world. With the Beis HaMikdash, and Mechalas Mikdash, he says the Pasuk, Goyin Uzich Machmasin Nechem. Rome doesn't want me to build the Beis HaMikdash, says Hurdus. He says, okay, let me give you some advice. Send a Shliach to Rome, asking them whether you should rebuild this Beis HaMikdash. But make sure that it takes the Shliach a year to get there. He'll hang out in Rome for a year, and it'll take him a year to get back. That'll give you 3 years to knock down and reconstruct the Beis HaMikdash. So he did kacha, exactly like that. And he got a message back from Rome 3 years later. And it said, if you didn't destroy it yet, don't destroy it. Why? Ben Yehuda explains that Rome knew that Rome was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And they didn't want this little deconstruction project to be owed to that. He says, if you did destroy it, don't rebuild it. And if you destroyed it and rebuilt it, you're a bad Eved. He says, you're nothing. We have your sefer yichus. You're not a king. You're not the son of a king. You're a slave. You're like a watered down version of a slave. Now, in the message, they use the word racha, which means a king. We know that from the pasuk of Anoichi Hayoyim Rak Umashuach Melech. Others learn from Vayikoru Lifonov Avrich. And Rach is the lashon of king. Well, Yosef was the king. You saw it into Malucha. Now, the Gemara tells us that if anyone didn't see Hordas' Beis HaMikdash, the renovated second Beis HaMikdash, he never saw a beautiful building in his life. What'd he do? Rav explains. He had these marble and tiles, or maybe it was this like, it wasn't green, it was like this blue and stone and marbles, and he designed it in a way going in and out so that you wouldn't even see the cement holding them together. He wanted to cover it in gold, but the Rabbanan said, no, leave it as it is, because this beautiful stone looked like waves of the sea. Now, Baba Ben Buta, the Gemara says, he's advising a Rasha how to do tshuva. Why is he allowed to do that? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, some say Rav Yishuv Levi says, that Daniel got punished for giving Eitzah to Nebuchadnezzar to do tshuva. Like the Pasuk says, Lehen malko malchi yishofer alecha lechateich b'tzdoko perik ve'avisoch b'meichan enayin hein tihave erko lishluseich. And the Pasuk says, that kule mato Al Nebuchadnezzar Malko and the Katz de Yarich and Trey Osar. Daniel advised Nebuchadnezzar to do tshuva, and he got in trouble for it. Why was Bob Ben Buta allowed to? So two answers. Either the Maisa Bob Ben Buta was chayev in mitzvahs as an Eved, so he was chayev to do tshuva, it seems. Alternatively, the Beis HaMikdash is a different scenario, because it wouldn't have been rebuilt if not for having this kingly power running the project. Now, who says that Daniel got punished in the first place? So, if you want to say from the pasuk of two options, either Vatikra Esel HaSoch, then Daniel was HaSoch, like Rav says, that works if you say that he was called HaSoch because he was cut down Shechotchuhu from his godless. But that's only one mandam. There's another mandam who says that he was called that because he was nechatchin. He was powerful. He was giving over the messages from the king to Mordechai and Esther. So where do you see he was punished? The Gemara says, oh, well, he was punished by being thrown into lions then. In Echanami, he was saved. You know, it's a famous Geshmaka ending, but that was still a punishment. Now, back in our sugya of Shutzim dividing up a property, we said that they built a wall, Kefi the Minig HaMedina. The Gemara says, what do you mean, hakol, like the minhag HaMedina? What's that including? That's including a case where the minhag is to put up shrubbery instead of a wall. You can do that. And the Mishnah said that if the wall falls down and they both put up this wall, they voluntarily put up this wall, they're going to divide the space underneath it. It's both of their properties. Isn't that obvious? Asked the Gemara. No, not necessarily. Because if the wall fell into one of their reshuyas, or he gathers it up into his reshus, I think you have a case of a mitzvah varaya to get it out. Kamash mala. No. No matter where it lands, they divide it. It's both of theirs. Now, he said by a garden, which has a little more hezekriya, if the menig is to put up a wall around it, you're mechayiv him too. Now the Gemara says, hold on a second. We have a stira in Duyukim. Could you say that by a garden, if the menig is to put up a wall, he has to put a wall? Mashma, that if there is no menig, there's a stam menig for gardens here, then there's no chiyuv to put up a wall. Problem is in the Seifa, we said that if it's a grain field, right? Grain is boring, no one's looking at grain in a valley, then if there's a minhag not to put up a wall, then you are not mechayev him. If there's stam though, there's no minhag, no negative minhag, seems like stam would be, neutrally, you are mechayev him. So what's the halacha by stam? Now if we're talking about a stam garden, and you don't have to put up a wall, by a stam grain, you definitely don't have to put up a wall because it's really boring. People don't like looking at your grain. Vegetables are fascinating, colorful, luring. So it's more hezekriya. Rabbi explains that by stam gina and somewhere where the minig is to put up a wall in all valley, then you're mechayev. Rava says, what's second? That's how you learn in the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah use the word aval? Hey, oh, but if you're in a garden, if you're in a valley, so Rava says, no, they're not the same. Tam garden is like, we assume the minhag is that to put up a wall. People look at your garden. And that's why you're chayev too. But in a stam pika, you look at the minug as being a minug not to put up a wall, and therefore we would not be mechayev him. Now we said that if there's no chayev to build a wall here, he's still invited to, but he has to put it on his side of the property, and he just has to put up a chuzis, some markers to show that it's in his property. If it falls down, it's all property of him. It wasn't a split endeavor. What is a chuzis? What is an effective marker? If Huna says, just lean it over onto his side. Lean it outside. Lean the wall towards the outside. Why not lean it inside? Because his friend can say, oh, I leaned it outside into my neighbor's property, and it's actually a joint effort. Why can't he do it the other way? His neighbor's gonna say, oh yeah, I also tilted it. I just tilted it the other direction, but it was joint. Now, when it's tilting like that, people will know. Someone in the opposite of Huna says that the guy who was voluntarily putting up a wall should point it inside. Why not put it outside? Because then his friend's gonna claim it for his own. Well, why isn't he going to just add a little bit to the inside and claim that it's his also? Yeah, people will see if he added something to it. And it does end up being a problem, because the Mishnah did say mibachutz, that you make the marker on the outside, not inside. But we leave that with a kasha. Rabbi Yochanan has a third understanding of how to make a proper marker, an effective marker. He says, you smear the wall with lime on the outside. Why not do it on the inside? Because then his friend could put his own lime on the outside and claim that it was a joint effort. Why can't his friend just peel off the outer lime and claim that it's his as well? Yeah, people can see if he scratched it off. Now, when it comes to branches, Reb Nachman says that you can make a division out of branches. We tie them all together on the outside. Why not put the knots on the inside? Because his friend could just put his own knots on the outside and claim that it was a joint effort. Why can't the guy now cut the knots from the outside and claim that they put it up together? Both sides are the same now. You cover it up with some cement, so he can't do that. Why can't his friend do that too? And peel off the cement? People can tell if you peeled it off. However, Abaye says the only way that you can get away with a branch separation is if you make a star writing out beferish where this wall is, and that it's only one of their walls. Now, the next step in the Mishnah was that if they want to put up a fence voluntarily, they could do it together. Rava from Parziko asks Ravashi, why don't they not put up a fence at all if they're both okay with dividing it? Because one of the guys already started putting up his fence. So the other guy has to come in and say, oh, no, wait. Don't start building it in my property and claiming it for yourself. Rava says, wait, are we worried about a Ramai? He says, yeah, the whole thing is an issue of a Ramoz. We're worried that the other guy is going to start claiming the wall for himself. He says, 1 second, but in the Reisha, we had a din that you have to build a wall. And a Mela, we gave over a takana of adding in markers. And the Sefer, there's no chiyuv for them to be building this wall. This was voluntary. So why are we throwing in our own takanas if there's no chiyuv? So Ravina explains that we're talking about hutzi, little branches, not a full stone wall. And this is the chiddush is Lafuke Abaye, who says that the only way that branches work as a divider is if you build a shtar, if you write up a shtar confirming the ownership, the status of this branch fence, kamash malon, that just the branches are enough. You don't actually have to have a shtar. Just cement over it, like we said earlier. In the next Mishnah, we learn that if someone is surrounded, right, A is surrounded by B's field, and B puts up three walls, right, in three directions around their joint fields, the guy in the middle, Mr. A, does not have to pay for those fields, because the Maisa, his field is not protected by that field from the fourth direction, and he's not chayev for that to chip in for that protection. Rav Yossi says, If he gets up, we'll see who, and puts up a fourth wall, then he's chayv to chip in for all four walls. And the Gemara of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, who says that if he gets up and makes a fourth wall, you have to pay for the whole thing. And the truth is, it doesn't even matter who puts it up. It could be the nikif or the makif. Once there are four walls, the middle guy is now chayv to chip in. We'll begin, just introduce the machlekes in the next sugya. If Huna says that it all depends on the quality of the walls, that's how much he has to chip in, as opposed to Chiyah Barav, he says the middle guy only has to chip in the cheapest form of reeds to supply security for his field. He doesn't have to chip in for the high-end security fence. We'll continue this Beis Hashem tomorrow. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful day.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.